We begin the Warren County Radio Bible School today with a Bible question. Now, we're studying about the deliverance of Israel from Egypt and how they were delivered at the Red Sea. But now, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they took with them a coffin of bones. Whose bones did they take with them as they left the land of Egypt? Well, we'll get to the answer to that in just a moment. I'll read it directly from the text. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And so for our Bible question, whose bones did the children of Israel take with them when they left the land of Egypt? Let me read that to you from the text, Exodus chapter 13, verses 17, beginning. It says, "It came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about by the way of the wilderness by the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up armed out of the land of Egypt." Now here's the answer. Exodus 13:19. "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn to the children of Israel, saying, surely God will visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." And then it says where they took their journey and how God led them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. This ties this Exodus story back to what we read about in the book of Genesis. Let me read the closing words of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 through 26. Where it says, "Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were born upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, before I die, God will," he said unto his brethren, "I die. But God will surely visit you and bring you up out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. It had now been about 210 years, or another way of reckoning it, a little over 400 years, since Joseph had brought his brothers out of the land of Canaan into Egypt. And Joseph had died, and they kept his bones. He wanted those bones to be a memorial to them of the old faith that he held. The faith that was the faith of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And so he said, you remember my bones, and you're going to take those bones back with you when you return to the land of Egypt. There's just something interesting, I think. And in fact, we're going to read again in the book of Joshua how that those bones were brought back and buried in that land. So Joseph's faith that God would someday fulfill that promise that he had made to the fathers would be fulfilled, he said, take my bones with you when you go. Let me read to you the rest of our lesson text. It's Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 16. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto Jehovah, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to bring us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we spake unto thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it were better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Jehovah will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And Jehovah said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go into the midst of the sea on dry land." I think it's interesting that Moses told the people to stand still, but Jehovah told the people to go forward. Were they contradicting one another? No, not at all. It was a matter of timing. Joseph told them, while they were about to panic and flee, he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah." But when the waters opened up, God told them to go forward. What do we learn from this? I like the lesson as it was expressed this way. Don't do anything in religion without divine direction. That's one of the things that story teaches us. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is, "Jehovah is my strength and song. He is become my salvation." Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2. The devotional reading is the 37th Psalm. And I would like to read that to you now. The inscription calls it a Psalm of David. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against them that work unrighteousness, for they shall soon be cut down like grass, and wither is the green herb. Trust in Jehovah and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself also in Jehovah, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto Jehovah, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass, and he will make the righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Rest in Jehovah, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospered in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself, it tendeth only to evil doing, for evil doers shall be cut off. But those that wait for Jehovah, they shall inherit the land. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the land, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord will laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous hath than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but Jehovah upholdeth the righteous. Jehovah knoweth the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil, and in the day of famine they shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish. And all the enemies of Jehovah shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, in smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth, and payeth not again, but the righteous dealeth graciously and giveth. For such as are blessed of him shall inherit the land, and they that are cursed of him shall be cut off. A man's goings are established of Jehovah, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for Jehovah upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All the day long he dealeth graciously and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For Jehovah loveth justice, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous talketh of wisdom, and his tongue speaketh justice. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. Jehovah will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait for Jehovah, and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. But one passeth by, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For there is a happy end of the man of peace. As for transgressors, they shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of Jehovah. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble, and Jehovah helpeth them and rescueth them. He rescueth them from the wicked and saveth them, because they have taken refuge in him. Oh, that's one of those beautiful psalms quoted by our Lord himself in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Well, now we're going to look at our Sunday school lesson. It was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of August the 1st, 1926. And it begins with this geographical note. Now, this geographical note asks us to consult a map, which you can't do very well over the radio, but you probably have a map in the back of your Bible. You may want to turn there. It'll be seen that the northern end of the Red Sea is split by the peninsula of Sinai into two gulfs, that of the Gulf of Suez on the west, and that of Aqaba on the east. The length of this sea is 1,450 miles, and its width at the widest place is about 205 miles. The Gulf of Suez is about 180 miles in length, and has an average width of 20 miles, but is less than 10 miles at the northern end. The Gulf of Aqaba is about 100 miles by 15 miles. The depth of the Red Sea varies from 2,500 feet to 7,200 feet. The Israelites crossed at the northern end of the Gulf of Suez, where the water's not so deep, but so deep that God had to part it, as the Bible states in order for the Israelites to pass through, by Hi-Hiroth and Migdol were places on the eastern edge of Egypt, west of the Red Sea, near where the Israelites camped.